Hello and welcome to Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves, a one-off podcast in collaboration with Cambridge student radio station CamFM. This podcast is part of the FNTM Festival in Cambridge, which celebrates the work of women, non-binary and trans men. My name is Amy, and in the next half hour I'm going to introduce you to some strong and successful women who have made their mark in music through the decades, from the 60s to the 90s. I'm going to start with the 1960s and Dusty Springfield. She was a pop soul singer in the 1960s and has often been described as the white voice of soul. Her first solo hit was I Only Want to Be With You in 1963, so she started at the beginning of the decade, and went on to become one of the most successful female pop stars of the 60s and early 70s. Then later on, her career died down a bit and then was resurrected in the 80s when she collaborated with the Pet Shop Boys. So at first glance, it might not be obvious why I've chosen her, because if you look at her and listen to her songs, it seems kind of tame. So her songs were common love songs and her image was more of that of an early 60s housewife. But I think if we take into consideration the context of when she started out, the early 60s, it becomes more easy to see later on why she was so influential. So just to give you some dates, abortion was illegal in the UK until 1967. And in France, for example, women only obtained the right to work without a husband's permission in 1965. The pill was introduced in 1960, yet it wasn't in common use until the later 60s, so the sexual revolution wasn't yet a thing when Dusty Springfield started out. So I think all of this shows at that time women were mostly confined to being a housewife or being a mother. And what makes Dusty Springfield so remarkable for me is that she was incredibly successful despite many rumors about her sexuality at a time when it was still illegal to be homosexual and potentially deadly for your career. Nevertheless, she had several relationships with women that she never denied, and she even married a woman in the 80s, even though obviously it wasn't legally recognized at the time. So through openly acknowledging that she has had those kind of relationships, she defied the image of the woman as the housewife and the mother at the time. And she herself never had any children and never had a relationship with a man, even for publicity purposes. She was also bipolar and subsequently suffered alcohol and drug abuse throughout her whole career. And despite all of this, she was the best-selling female singer in the world in 1966 and used her popularity to promote black music in England, for example by hosting the Motown show in 1965. So even though there was no open rebellion in that sense, I think Dusty Springfield is remarkable because she had to overcome many obstacles and lived a life that she believed in was right, and still managed to become one of the most successful female pop stars of that decade. And to prove her talent, I'm going to play you her biggest hit, which is Son of a Preacher Man from 1968.
Billy Ray was a preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, Cousin Billy would take me walking out through the backyard. We go walking. Then he looked into my eyes. Lord knows, to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was. Sweet talking to me, he come and tell me everything is alright. He kiss and tell me everything's alright. Can I get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man, the only boy the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Lord, Lord, he was.
Yes, he was.
How well I remember the look was in his eyes. Stealing kisses from me on the slide. Taking time to make time. Telling me that he's all mine. Learning from each other's knowing. Looking to see how. Preacher man, the only boy who could ever teach me. Was the son of a preacher man, yes he was. He was. Oh yes he was.
The only boy who could ever teach me.
He was the sweet talking son of a preacher man.
The only boy who could ever teach me.
Yes he was the son of a preacher man.
The only one who could ever move me.
Sweet talking son of a preacher man.
So we're going to continue with the 70s, and I've chosen Diana Ross for this. In the 70s, she was already a big star through her success in the 60s with the Supremes. They had hits such as Baby Love or Stop in the Name of Love, and were a Motown group. Just some things that she has achieved in her career. She is Billboard's Female Entertainer of the Century. She is in the Guinness Book of Records as the most successful female music artist in history. She is credited to have discovered the Jackson 5 and remained a lifelong friend of Michael Jackson. And all of that despite being a woman, black, and from a working class background. Her great-grandmother, for example, was a former slave. She's also a Golden Globe and Oscar-nominated actress, and one big achievement in the 70s was that in 1974, she was the first African-American woman to co-host the Oscars, and that's why I've picked her for the 70s. It's also notable that she achieved all of this and continues to be successful, all this by having 5 children and 3 stepchildren. As I said, she was very successful in the 60s, later in the 70s, and I think her probably best known hit, if people are not that much into the 60s, would be Chain Reaction with the Bee Gees from the 80s. But since I've chosen her to be my strong woman of the 70s, I'm going to play you a song from her 1970 debut solo album. And the song is called Reach Out and Touch Somebody's Hand.
Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place if you can. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place if you can.
Just try.
Take a little time out of your busy day to give encouragement to someone.
this world a better place if you can, says Diana Ross. And I think all the women I talk about on this podcast have made the world a better place, if not by open rebellion, maybe, then by showing women and girls all around the world that you can be strong and successful and that you're worth something as a woman, as a black woman, as a gay woman. And I'm continuing with a strong woman in the 80s, and I've chosen Tina Turner. I have to say, at first I wasn't sure if I should talk about her because, as you will see, I will talk about her strength as defined over a relationship to a man. But I think it will become clear later. So the man I'm talking about is Ike Turner. For those of you who don't know him, Tina and Ike Turner were a couple in the 60s and they played together in a band. And to be fair, Tina Turner first became famous through Ike Turner. But the relationship was very abusive to the point that she tried to commit suicide in 1968. But for me, it's important to say that she's not strong because she survived this, but because she had the strength to see her own worth. And in the late 70s, she was the one that walked out and filed for divorce. Even though she had to live with friends after, had to receive food stamps and to play small clubs to pay off her debts because they were still under contract to tour together. And she took all of this onto herself to end the relationship professionally as privately. And I mean, she went on to be one of the most successful female pop stars of the 80s, and who nowadays really knows Ike Turner? So I think good on her, and it really shows that you have to recognize what you're worth and don't let yourself be defined by anyone else. And that's what makes her my strong woman of the 80s. Of course, she was successful after and before that, but I think the 80s were the time when she had her biggest hits, and I'm going to play you one of them from her 1984 album Private Dancer. I'm going to play you the title track, Private Dancer, which is in a way about how women feel about using their body to earn money. And it was a massive hit, and I think many of you will know it. So this is Private Dancer.
Well, the men come in these places, and the men are all the same. You don't look at their faces, and you don't ask their names. You don't think of them as human. You don't think of them at all. You keep your mind on the money, keeping your eyes on the wall. And your private dancer, a dancer for money, do what you want me to do. And your private dancer, a dancer for money, and any old music will do. I wanna make $1 million. I wanna live out by the sea, a husband and some children. Yeah, I guess I want a family. All the men come in these places, and the men are all the same. You don't look at their faces, and you don't ask their name. I'm your private dancer, a dancer for money. I'll do what you want. Private dancer, a dancer for money, and any old music will do. I'm your private dancer, dancer for money. Do what you want me to do. Just a private dancer, a dancer for money.
So we're reaching the end of the podcast now with the 90s, and I have chosen Annie Lennox, even though she's probably better known for her work in the 80s with Eurythmics. But she started her solo career in the 90s and had several top 10 hits. And in the noughties, for example, she wrote Into the West for the Lord of the Rings soundtrack. So she's done lots since Eurythmics. And she's interesting to me because she challenged the ideas of femininity in pop. We have to remember the 80s were the time of Madonna and her cone-shaped breasts. And with her androgynous look, she completely turned that upside down and showed women that they didn't have to show their body or be sexy to be successful. Her androgynous look first came out in the video to Sweet Dreams Are Made of This in the 80s, where she wore a suit and had short orange hair. And that look kind of made her something of a gay icon in the 80s, even though Annie Lennox is straight. But she's used that status of an icon and her popularity to be an activist for AIDS and Amnesty International and Greenpeace. She's also a longtime supporter for LGBT rights and has frequently identified herself with the feminist movement. So I think she is a great woman to end this podcast with. Strong, not interested in the mainstream conception of femininity. And yeah, I think it would be fitting to end this podcast with one of her hits from the 80s with the Eurythmics and in collaboration with Aretha Franklin, who is also an absolute icon of the 60s and 70s and a very strong, successful woman. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and please check out the FNTM Festival around Cambridge. There's lots of plays on, and if you're not in Cambridge, there's lots of other podcasts by amazing women for the festival on lots of different themes, so please check them out. My name is Amy, and I hope you enjoyed the last half hour, and I'm going to play you out with Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves by the Eurythmics and Aretha Franklin. Goodbye!